My name is Heath. I am the lead pastor of Reach Community Church in our new house. We've only been in here 3 weeks, and so far it has gone great. You guys agree? Yeah. Much better, cleaner, nicer, bathrooms, beautiful. If you never went to the middle school, you just have no idea. But we were there 4.5 years, and we love the middle school. This isn't a knock on our home for 4.5 years, but this one's better. We are in a series that we have one more week, so next week we will end the series, and if you're going, oh, I'm here for the Sunday and I'm going to be completely lost, this series is not really a series other than for the last 2 years, every January we have encouraged people to get on the one-year Bible plan so that they're reading Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and Proverb every week or every day so that you read through the Bible in a year. And so once or twice a year, I do a series that's a non-series that literally what you read that week, I preach on the next week. So what you're reading that week, I'm going to preach on, and we're doing that one more week next week, and then we'll go into our Redefined series with our other area churches. In the first two Sundays, you'll have different guys here. I'll be back on the third, and then I'll be gone on the fourth, and then after that, I'll be back. So I just want to let you know that this is not an occasion that you just disappear because I'm not here, you know. Other people are checking your names off, so I'll know if you're not here. But seriously, come. We're today going to go Old Testament in probably a, I don't know that I've ever preached out of this, and I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon on this, and the more I researched it, the more I realized that not many other people have preached off of this text either, so bear with me. So before we get in there, I just want to ask you a few questions and go through a few things. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit. You know, when Pentecost came, our power, our life force came to us. A bunch of scrubs that couldn't do anything correct once they got the Holy Spirit turned the world upside down, and that's what we have access to now today. And so I hope this last week you kind of took the challenge of going, just waking up in the morning and asking, like, I need you. Fill me. I did. It was a good week. You should continue. Not something we just do during the week that we ask, but there's life in that. And so I believe that God speaks to us individually, that God leads us, that we're in this relationship with not this foreign entity that has given us just a book that we make sure that we read so that we stay in the good graces of God, but literally a God who wants to have relationship with us every day, speak to our heart, give us things. I just want to let you know that, like, I didn't choose Leland. Don't be offended if you're from here originally, not because I didn't like Leland. I didn't even know Leland existed 7 years ago. Period. And I believe that God began to speak to me and my family about planting a church. And for us, I wanted God to say where, because I understand that this, and I understand even more now, we're approaching the 5-year mark, that, you know, you need to be told by God where to go to plant a church, because it's hard work. It's, you know, there's just so many things that come against you, and you need that word from the Lord that said, this is where I've called you. And after a long, long time of us kind of asking where, God specifically told us this city, in this town. And just to be honest with you, my wife and I met at Appalachian State. Like, my prayers were going towards the higher elevation, towards the mountains. Like, Lord, you know, anywhere that's, you know, it might snow. And then we come here. Towards the beach. I like the beach, but I like to visit the beach, not necessarily live at the beach. So God spoke to us here. And let me just tell you, like, I left a church that our youth group was bigger than our church is right now. Like, that was my job, and this sounds bragging. I'm not trying to be. I was pretty good at my job. And I was not at a point that I was going to be asked to leave my job. I had a secure job. I had a secure paycheck, and we were in a large, growing church in a city that I had spent my entire life in other than college. All of my family was there. It made no sense to leave. My dad constantly told me, he's not here so I can say this, constantly told me, he was like, well, why don't we just get a building here? You already know all these. You know? And I'm like, Dad, you know, no, we're not doing that. And everything came against what God asked me to do. Like, even to the point where once we finally had nailed down that this is, at least in my heart, this is where we're going to go and where we're going to plant a church, we had another pastor in our network that had decided he was also going to plant here, and it felt like God was going, we're about to shut this down. And it was heartbreaking. And the thing that kept me going is that God spoke to me. And I believe it's not just something that God speaks to me. And you go like, well, you're a pastor. I hope God speaks to you. I believe that the same access that I have to the Father you have. There's nothing special about me other than God is directing me to do certain things, and he wants to direct you to do certain things that are going to make impact in his kingdom that will change our world. But the problem is that when God begins to speak to us, when God begins to say, brings clarity, you get in his word and you begin to see these pictures and glimpses of what God desires for you, so many things come against that. Like, everything in our world comes against that. Everything that you watch on TV, everything that you hear on the radio wants to put you into fear and wants you to, you know, not believe that God's asked you to go to some foreign country where it's dangerous, or God's asked you to plant a church in an area that you know, I'd only been to the Wilmington area 3 times before God spoke to me the first time to move and plant a church. 3 times. Like, this wasn't like my family get-together, like where we went, like, literally, God spoke, and you need to know. And so what I want to do this morning is we're going to look at 1 Kings 13, and hopefully I'm trying to take a picture and let you know what I'm going to preach on so you can read it. And so, you know, this was a confusing, if you already read it, you're like, whoo, like, this is confusing. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that, and it's okay. But let me give you some pre-story. Okay, so we've seen David already become the king. Actually, the image of the king that Jesus was going to be. He was a precursor of that, and that was David. And David, even though he failed, he loved God and tried with all his ability. He failed in some areas. He loved God and tried to be obedient to God all the days of his life. Actually, God says, this is a man after my own heart. And David turns his kingdom over to one of his sons named Solomon. And Solomon speaks to the Lord. The Lord's asked, like, what do you want? And he was like, I want wisdom and discernment so I can lead your people. And God gives him that and everything else. It's one of the most wealthy kingdoms ever. I mean, this guy was so wise. Like, he didn't even use Twitter or Facebook or anything else. Like, he was so wise that his wisdom went to other areas. And people are like, we just got to go meet near this guy so we can hear his wisdom. People brought him gifts so that they could listen to how smart he is. But he wasn't too smart. In his old age, he disobeyed some of the things that God had asked him to do, which was not marry foreign women, and he married lots of them. Not just... He messed up a lot. And so in his old age, those women who he loved pulled his heart. Like, he didn't stop worshiping God, but he began to worship other things, other gods, which you can't do. Like, you can go, oh, I love God, but I love these other things. And he began to set up other houses of worship for his foreign wives because he loved them. And he began to worship that. And that, what he did, divided the kingdom that God said that if your sons, talking to David, if your sons would obey me, and if they would love me all the days, this kingdom will never be taken from them. It's theirs. All they have to do is to love me and love me alone, and then I'm here, going to be their God, going to bring peace, going to keep all of their lands. And Solomon didn't do that. And this is something beautiful, because God loved David, and you see this for generations. Like, if you're reading along with us, you see this verbiage a lot. Because God loved David, he didn't allow Solomon's kingdom to be divided until after Solomon was dead. And you'll even see, even with the disobedient grandson of David, you still see, because God loved David, he withheld the full weight of what should have come his way because he loved him. And let me just say, dads, you know, a lot of us look at the verse in, I was actually looking it up. If you saw me on my phone earlier, I was looking up something on the Bible. Don't judge me. He's over there on social. I'm not. I promise. I won't go on social media while I'm in church. And, you know, it talks about this idea that that when fathers aren't good, the sins of the father are passed down to the third and fourth and fifth generation. Some of us are dealing with that. Some of us are dealing with bad choices, bad decisions that our fathers made. But the beauty of this is that those for thousands of generations, the goodness. So what we saw in David, the beauty of what God loved David so much that he held back what they deserved because of his father. Like dads, if we can learn to hear and obey the voice of the Lord, I'm not saying, and I will never promise that your life will be easy, but your life will bring dividends for generations to come. And so Solomon gives his kingdom over to his son Rehoboam. I don't know how that's pronounced. Forgive me. And he loses it. He listens to the young guys. Young guys, there's a reason why men have lived and they have the wisdom of the gray hair, because they've done dumb things and they've learned from them, hopefully. They're still alive. And so the people that have served kind of as the workforce came to him and was like, hey, can you lessen our work? And the old man was like, yes. Like, listen, if you can keep them happy, then your kingdom's secure. And he gets to his young bucks, and they're like, nah, they ain't gonna come to you like that. Like, you're not gonna have them talk to you. So he goes and was like, yes, you know, like my pinky is like my dad's thigh. Like, you're gonna feel the weighted pressure of me. Well, they rebel, and 10 out of the 12 kingdoms go to this guy, this other guy, Jeroboam. And Jeroboam becomes king of the large portion of the tribes of Israel. And in his wisdom, and I say wisdom because he was wise in a cunning way, not wise in a godly way, in his wisdom, he knew that if the people of Israel ever went back, because at that point, to go to the temple, that's where they had to go and worship the Lord their God. And he knew that if they went back there, their hearts would be turned back to the lineage of David. And he would lose his kingship. And so what he did is he set up idols of worship. He sets up places of worship. He even brings, I'm telling you, we don't learn. He brings back the golden calves that Moses ground up and made them drink. And a lot of them died because of the golden calves before. Because these are the gods that brought us out of Egypt. And he created these two places that you could come to and you could worship. And of course, people lined up to be priests and they were there. And woo! Because he knew that if he could keep their hearts away from God, God would continue to let them be oppressed by him. And so this is where we start our story. And it's strange. And I hope the Lord God speaks through what I have, because I believe that there's something in here for us that we have to hear, even though it is a strange, strange story. So I've said that at the beginning. So here we go. 1 Kings 13, starting in verse 1. And behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord to Bethel. Jeroboam was standing by the altar and making an offering. It's so funny. He sets up this fake worship, but he's there putting his offering, like, hey, follow me, everybody do what I do. And I love that this prophet isn't even named. It just says, a man of God. Not named. And the man cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord. And he said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priest of the high places who make offering on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign of the Lord that the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn down, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. And it's getting ready to get interesting. I mean, like, prophets are nothing until what they say happens. Like, someone can walk in here right now and says, thus saith the Lord, the building is about to crash down and you're all going to die in 30 seconds. Some of us will run, who knows? But everybody else, at the end of that 30 seconds, if his word doesn't happen, then, you know, whatever. He's just a crazy person telling you things. So at this point, we don't really know what this is. But we're getting ready to see the power when we walk in obedience to what God has told us. It says, and when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him, or cash me outside. You know, if you know, like, we're about to take this joker down. This guy is about as dumb as that phrase is, but I had to throw it in there. And his hand, which he stretched out against him, dried up so that he could not draw it back to himself. Like, when you reach out to tear somebody up, like, you're just about to do something like you shouldn't, and your arm, like, dries up, and you cannot move it, I imagine a little twig, like, it's just gone, and he can't do anything with it. He's like... Like, this isn't just a man of God. This is a prophet of the Lord. Like, the story changes. And right there, so his arm's still like this, like, ah! And the altar was torn down, and the ashes were poured out from the altar according to the sign of the man of God given by the word of the Lord. This is the real deal. Like, he heard the word, the voice of the Lord. And I believe that we have the capacity to have that same power to hear the voice of the Lord and be obedient and see the work of the Lord. Because, like, I'm not talking about create, like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to heal people. If God hasn't called you to heal people, then you're not going to heal people. Period. Like, we don't go and do our thing. I'm talking about going, God, I want you to speak to me. I'm yours. Like, I am your creation, created to please you, and I want to be obedient to you regardless of what it is. And we all want to be this guy. But God may say, I want you to go wash people's feet. I want you to go do things that you're not going to get any immediate feedback from other than you're doing what I said. And there's been lots of times in my life where, like, God's just asked me to do just weird things. There's something that gets broke in us in a good way. When the voice of the Lord asks you to do something and you stop thinking logically of why or all these other things, you just become obedient. Now, let me just disclaimer, and this is why you need to be in the Word of the Lord. This is why you need to be in the Bible. This is why we encourage the one-year Bible. The voice of the Lord is not going to tell you anything new. And it's not going to tell you anything contrary to this. So if the voice of the Lord tells you to start a new civil war and start killing people, not the voice of the Lord. Like, it will be known by how we love. Like, I'm telling you, we need to be here so that we know that it is. But, like, this man, the real deal. In verse 6, like, I'm sure the king was like, man, I'm about these guards. They about to kill this joker. Are you coming up in my house and you're going to yell at my altar that I created to enslave these people to love me as king? Different humble king right now. It says, and the king said to the man of God, entreat, like, come with me. Now
the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored. And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before. Like right there, church service just got real. Like whatever you say, dude, like what do we do next? It's like, give us the list, because we're listening to this guy. Did you see what he just did? In verse 7, it says, and the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. And to this point, you don't know that when God spoke to him to go and do this, God gave him another command that he had to be obedient to. And the man of God was like, I don't think so. And the man of God said to the king, if you give me half of your house, I will not go with you, and I will not eat bread or drink water in this place. This is important. For so was it commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall neither eat bread or drink water, nor return the way you came. And so he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. If this was the end of the story, you'd be like, best prophet ever. Like, you want that job. You're like, I want to be that guy. Like, yeah, I want to roll up into, you know, king, you going to try to kill me? Nah, shrivel your hand. Poof. Like, he didn't even call that. Like, the Lord just, like, protected him from the king, got the king's attention. But the story gets really weird. If you've already read it, like, you know what I'm talking about. If you hadn't read it, like, this is getting weird. Because you're like, yes, check. Like, I want to be that guy. Now, the danger is that when God speaks to us, there's consequences when we don't listen. Now, I'm just going to, thus saith the Lord, if you be disobedient to God today, like, you're not going to get eaten. You're not going to get slain by a lion on the way home. Okay? But there are consequences to when God speaks something to us when we don't follow through. Some of those consequences go on to our children. And so in verse 11 it says, now an old prophet lived in Bethel. Now in this old prophet, there's a lot of things to be said of this. The older we get, the easier it is to become lazy and complacent. Here's an old prophet living in the city where a new king has set up a new worship, and he wasn't with the young man going, yeah, we're about to take this down. He's living there, and what we're going to see in just a second, his two sons were in the temple watching this. Like, they didn't get like a little tweet feed that they're like, oh, this riot's about to take place. We're going. They were there. Like, just put two and two together. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of speculation, but most likely this prophet isn't being obedient to what God is calling him to, because he's living in a city where they've set up foreign worship and he isn't doing anything about it. And for those that are still reading along, I mean, the 450 prophets of Baal, I mean, like, I love that story. Like, I read that and I'm like, ooh, I want to preach that too, but not today. And so continue on. It says, and his sons came and told him, because they were there, all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told to their father the words that he had spoken to the king. And in verse 12, and it says, and their father said to him, which way did he go? And his son showed him the way that the man of God came from Judea, that had came from Judah, had gone, and he said to his son, saddle my donkey for me, and he saddled his donkey for him and mounted it, and he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And I'm sure there's some, like, you know, something big there, but we're going to leave that oak tree alone. Like, don't go cut down all the oak trees. They're not just bad things. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. And this, like, there's lots of speculation. Like, was this prophet jealous that the voice of the Lord was coming to this young man and not him? Was he literally there just to commune with another brother because he's been so isolated? We don't know. but he lies, which isn't good. And so this old prophet tells the young prophet, he was like, hey, come home with me. Eat and refresh yourself. And the young prophet is like, no, I can't. The Lord has declared to me that this is what I'm to do. And so the old prophet lies. And he tells him, whoa, I'm a prophet of the Lord too. And the angel appeared to me just a few minutes ago. And he changed your command. He said, it's okay. It's okay for you to come into the house with me and eat. There's no big deal. Come on. And this young man let someone else's word be more powerful than the command of the Lord. He let someone else's opinion be more powerful. And so he comes home, and I'm sure he's hungry because he hadn't eaten on the way there. Hadn't eaten on the way back. He's on the way back and he's hungry and he's like, oh, the Lord has opened the door for me to eat in this nice prophet's house. And he goes to the prophet and he's sitting there eating and drinking, and the real word of the Lord comes back to the old prophet and he gives him a judgment. Because you have disobeyed. It's so funny, like he lies to him, gets him to disobey, and then gets a word of the Lord going, because you've disobeyed, you're not going to be buried with your fathers. You're going to die. Like, I'm sure that dinner was great until that moment. Like, have you ever had something happen, like, towards the middle of, you know, you're eating, you're hungry, and you're just appetite, and he's like, okay. Like, I'm good. I think I'm going to go home. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. I'm going to go home. And so he saddles his donkey, and he leaves. And on the way home, this is when it gets weird. On his way home, he's up on his donkey, just, you know, like, maybe the Lord will forgive me. I don't know what he's thinking, or maybe he's like, gotta get out of here. Woo! But on the way home, a lion kills him. Doesn't eat him. This is weird. Kills him, slayed him, didn't tear him up, just like, you know, like, I don't know how he did it, but he killed him, and he's dead on the side of the road. And no lie, read the word. The lion sits down. I did that. And his donkey, which, you know, the Lord's in it when the donkey doesn't run, when he's like, his master's getting killed, and he's like, man, he's pretty small. Like, that lion looks pretty big. He's going to want me too. But the donkey sits down on the other side. And everybody coming back and forth sees the lion, the dead man, and the donkey, and they're like, whoa. And I guess he chilled there for a little bit because someone went back and told the prophet what had happened. And the old prophet, I think, had really had a heart change during this moment. I don't know. I think, honestly, I think he was far from the Lord. And I think he just was probably angry and bitter at his own life. And he wanted to ruin someone else's, personally. And when the voice of the Lord spoke to him in the middle of dinner, I think it radically changed the old prophet. And so the old prophet comes and scoops up the dead man. Like, could you imagine? Lion is still there. You ever try to take, like, my dog is like 12 pounds, but if Lucky doesn't want you to have it, like, he won't really bite you, but like, he puts on a show. Like, I don't know if this lion, have you ever seen a pack of lions, like when they try to take something from each other? He throws on his donkey and he brings him back. And he puts this prophet in his grave, which is a big deal. I mean, graves weren't dime a dozen. Like, this is his family plot. This is where he was going to be buried. And he buries him there. And he tells his son, he said, when I die, bury me with the prophet of the Lord. And you're probably going, holy goodness. Where, oh, where? And here's, I got a few more verses and we're going to close. And here's what I believe. There's only one thing that you do when God speaks to you, is that you obey. There was a story that we read not too long ago in 1 Samuel where Saul had been anointed king and God told him to do something, to go into this city and destroy it, commit it to destruction. All of it. Animals and all, and he keeps the king and brings him back, and he keeps the choice animals, and he brings them back, and the prophet hears what happens, and he comes to him, and he loses his anointing as king because of his disobedience. And, you know, I think we do this. Like when we do things that we know we're not supposed to do, like the Lord has asked us to do something, but we do something else, we try to spiritualize it. And so Saul was like, hold on, prophet. Like, you know, you see, I know you hear them, but we brought those here to sacrifice to the Lord. We do that. We're like, oh, no. Like, I'm not working all these hours and whatever. I want to be able to give the Lord more money. That was a touchy point. It got real quiet right there. That's my money. Don't you talk about my money. Okay, not going to talk about your money today. And so the prophet tells Saul, he says, has the Lord, and this is on the screen, forgive me, it says, does the Lord have great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He asked the question, it was like, does God desire the burnt offerings more than your obedience? He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of the rams, for rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presupposition is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected you from being king. Us not listening to the Lord has consequences. And what I want for you to walk away from this morning is, one, whether you've heard the voice of the Lord or not, or whether you've seen God speak to you through His word, God still speaks. He does. He spoke to me, and He's spoken to other people. He speaks in His word. Like, I'm telling you, what He's telling us right now, like, this isn't the consequence for us is not getting eaten by a lion, but the consequences of not obeying nor listening to the voice of the Lord will come. And the sad thing is, dads, is that our disobedience will be laid on our children. And so the reason why we obey isn't just for us, isn't just so, like, we obey so God blesses us. We obey and love the Lord because the gift, the greatest gift that we can give our children is the blessing of an obedient father. And see, the beauty is, if you're sitting here, and this is the grace of the God that we serve. If you're sitting here and that's not been the case with you, all we have to do is cry out to the Lord and say, God, I have it. Like, I don't desire your voice because I know your voice is going to tell me to do things that I don't want to do. But I don't want the consequences on me or my children. Lord, I want to see you. Because here's the beauty. God always leads us to good things. Now, some of those roads aren't easy, but where He's leading us, if we're being obedient to His voice, where He gets us in the end will be 1,000 times better than anything else that you, in your worldly effort, tried to accumulate for yourself. Like, I want us to be a church that wants to and desires to be obedient to God. Because there are people lost and dying in our world that God's obedience to us is talking to people about the Lord. And it's scary. And like, you're going to be somewhere, you're going to be sitting in a coffee shop, you're going to be at Walmart, and God's just going to go, I want you to go talk to them. Like, there's a man I talked to the other day that he's from our church. He did a lot of strongman stuff in the day. And his kind of ministry right now is that he literally totes around a 200-pound cross all over Moore County where we're from, and literally to have conversations with people, because people will stop and want to give him water, because, you know, and then he's like, you know, it's amazing the ministry that he gets to have, because God asked him to carry a cross around town. Like, that's something God asked him to do. It's not something that He's asked every one of you to do, but I believe that God is asking you to do something specific, and that obedience is going to bless you more than anything else. Because God leads us into good things. And when he speaks, the only response that we can give him is yes. But we have to believe that where he's taking us and what he has for us is better than anything we can get in ourselves. Listen to this, and I use this verse a ton, and I don't want to beat it to death, but John 10:10, this is the first part we don't talk about as much. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So the thief in this story took from this man of God, the young man of God that delivered the word of the Lord, he took and stole from him the blessing of his full obedience, robbed it from him. Who knows what this young prophet could have done with the rest of his life walking in absolute obedience to God. But this is Jesus. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Obedience is abundance from God. The enemy that is trying to take that obedience from you is trying to rob, kill, and destroy your future, your present, and wants to constantly remind you of your past. When Jesus is going, hey, hey, like, just listen to me. I know we live in a loud world. We're actually going to do a series in the fall on Daniel and this idea of living in exile. You know, we live in a foreign territory. I mean, the kingdom of God has not returned, and we live in an area that is not godly. I mean, anywhere you go. But he still called us to live in obedience there. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, this is Paul. He said, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. If you continue the story that we left a second ago, Jeroboam didn't stop what he was doing. I believe that it scared the mess out of him, and he was ready to be obedient, ready to turn from his ways. But then the prophet of the Lord dies. I'm kind of like, well, you know, he gone now. We can do whatever. This kingdom might have been utterly different if he would have walked in obedience. And I believe this morning that God wants to speak. And I'm going to invite our worship team up. We're going to go into another song. And I believe that God wants to speak. God may even want to, in your own mind, settle some things that he's spoken to you before that you've not walked out. And that's the grace of God to just go, hey, guys, remember this? There's a lot of things that I feel like. And this is why I write down things in a journal, not a diary, guys. I know it feels like every time the word journal comes, I'd be like, I ain't writing no diary. Like, I ain't putting a lock on it. Journal. It is very important to record. I have a whole journal from this praying process of us moving here that I've had to open and read over and over again of God declaring what he is going to do in this area with this church and that he called me here. And you need to have those words. And I believe if you'll allow yourself, if in this last few minutes of our worship, if you just say, God, I want to know you like that. Because I think some of us, we talked about the Holy Spirit last week, some of us, if Jesus, we're in the room, we'll be like, yeah, I'm in. Like, I'm with you. Whatever you want to do, tell me what you want to do next. And we forget that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. That same power, that same voice is in everyone who calls on the name of Jesus as their Lord and Savior, is in you. And so if this has been a quiet season, begin to call out. I missed one day in my reading plan in April, and I read it yesterday. I think it was for today, and it was literally about the persistent widow, about prayer. That she got the unjust judge to give her what she wanted because she kept coming back. Keep asking. Like, if it didn't happen right now, like, if you're sitting here and like, God, I'm going to give you 4 minutes to give me the voice of the Lord, and when that 4 minutes is over, I'm leaving and I'm just going to go back to my way. What God wants to give you is better than anything you have right now. Like, we settle for dirt pie when the King is trying to invite you to the table and go, have life, have it abundantly. And a little shameless plug, if hearing the voice of the Lord is an issue in your life, in the fall, if we have enough interest, we'll be offering a class called Experiencing God, written by Henry Blackaby, just shaping how you hear the voice of God. And it's not weird and wacky. It's literally going, here is how the Word speaks to us, how the church speaks to us, how our prayer life speaks to us, how other people can speak into our life. And if that's something that you want, in the fall, starting mid-September, we'll have a new group going on. It is the best that you can get on refocusing yourself to hear, because God speaks. He is speaking right now. And so what I want to do, I want two things. If you're sitting in this room, if you don't know Jesus, you can't hear him. Like, you got to open up that channel. And to know Jesus is simple. Just means that I can't do this. Hopefully you've gotten to a place in your life that you've realized that you mess up more things than you fix. And that's why Jesus had to come. And he came in the body, lived the life that you didn't, couldn't, will never, went willingly to the cross to pay your sin debt. And he offers you life. And salvation literally is going, I believe that. And I have faith that you are going to wipe me clean. And you can do that right now. Like, as we go into this last song, if that's not you, then ask. And if that's a struggle, in just a little bit, we're going to have some prayer people up front. You can come up front and just go, I need help getting there. They would love to walk you into that. Two, if you're here today and you love Jesus and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he wants to speak to you. And so ask. Write it down and be obedient. Because there's blessing in your obedience. There is blessing in every trial that you go through while walking in obedience. There's not blessing in walking in disobedience. And that has a cost to us, as we see in our own lives, and it has a cost to our children. So I'm going to pray, we're going to go into worship, and we're going to have, and the voice of the Lord is going to speak. So dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for anyone in this room that may today not know you, that you today are going to walk them into your kingdom, pour out your grace and mercy on their life, and change their life for the good forever. And Lord, I ask as the spiritual leader of this church that you would unclog ears and unclog hearts and let us hear your voice. And Lord, I pray that right now as those in their seat, they go, gosh, if I could listen to you and see you move, Lord, it would be so much better, Lord, that we would just ask in these few minutes of worship, we would literally just go, God, I want to hear your voice. I want you to speak to me. And then, Lord, I pray that you would help us be obedient to what you speak. And we pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.